G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Let me just remind listeners around the nation before I get to our special guests. Jeremy Rockliffe is the Liberal Premier in Tasmania. The opposition leader is Rebecca White. Tasmanians off to the polls. It's the second term for the Liberal government here. This election was called a year early.
This will be the fourth.
Sorry, I'm being corrected on the run here. So let's welcome our special guests. Let me first of all welcome the Very Reverend Richard Humphrey. Richard, a special welcome along.
You can stop using the Very Reverend now.
Richard, from this time forward.
Sure.
And we've got another special guest, Christopher Brough here, who is the Australian Christian Lobby State Director for Tasmania. Hey, Christopher.
Go on, Neil, and go on, Richard. Good to be on.
Let me just start here with Richard. We're in, as I'm describing this, as an iconic, fabulous cathedral. This is something that for some people, maybe they'll think of it as a relic of the past.
Sure.
But the fact that we have a connection to the past, a stake in the ground in the capital of Tasmania and Hobart. This is something pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, the Christian faith believes in history. We believe in things that happened in history, and we believe there's a destination to history. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a historic building. We're not just a museum, though. We're a living community of faith here in the heart of Hobart that exists to proclaim Jesus as Lord in the heart of Hobart, to build a community of living faith, profound hope, and practical love. And so that's what we're trying to do and encourage others to do. So we have a wider ministry than just those who come to our building, both through our website, through our YouTube channels and such things, but also just by being interviewed and things like this. We are hopefully encouraging people around the state to be encouraging people to look at who Jesus is and to follow him in all areas of life. And of course, that does mean in the way they vote as well.
You're right here in the heart of the Hobart CBD, and people can wander in off the street, as a couple have done right now. I'm going to wave my hand. Hey, welcome along.
He just went all charismatic.
So people wandering in here, in fact, you've got a almost unique spotlight on the people of the community, and the CBD communities are sometimes a little different to those who are in country towns.
Yep.
But you keep a finger on the pulse. You've got your church attendees, your membership. How are they feeling? Is there some sort of a vibe that you've picked up around this state election?
So there are some quite local issues that are on people's minds. So there's an issue around the moving of the university from the Sandy Bay campus into the city. That's a local issue. There is also a local issue around our AFL football team and the stadium. We've just announced the new team, the Tasmanian Devils, and the government has signed up to a $1 billion stadium right in the heart of Hobart, which most of us are going, how can we afford that and how's that going to impact parking and driving and are already difficult traffic situation that we have in Tassie. Those are kind of particular Hobart issues, but there are issues that it would be true for Australians across the nation, issues around healthcare, issues around education, and particularly cost of living. And some of that's being driven by the cost of housing now in Tasmania. So nurses used to be paid less in Tasmania because it cost less to live here. That's not true anymore, but we still don't pay our nurses anymore. And so, of course, we're losing nurses and doctors to the mainland, the North Island, as we tend to call it.
Okay.
And so, I mean, those are a lot of the kind of issues that are in the air amongst the electorate. And I wish that there was a more collaborative, rather than sort of election promises, attempt to solve these issues. Actually, there was an attempt by Parliament to be working together to govern, to actually bring some solutions to these rather than simple election promises to deal with them. But we'll have to see how the new Parliament deals with that. It will I hope I'm not saying anything controversial here, but it'll probably be a minority government. That's what the polls are pointing to. And it will be up to the whoever the major party is to work with, whoever they're working with, to bring policies that hopefully will bring better outcomes for people.
Let's bring Christopher Brohier into the conversation. Christopher, Australian Christian Lobby, Tasmanian State Director, you've had your finger on the pulse. And while we're here, those local issues from Richard, who's right here in the Hobart CBD and reflecting on Tasmanians in the lead-up to this election, you're focusing on those issues, those very controversial issues, which are so divisive and have the potential to suppress, even criminalise Christians in a whole lot of ways. Christopher, what for you has been the biggest focus that you've been talking to Tasmanians about?
So, thanks, Neil. So we've run a single-issue campaign focusing on parental rights and care for sex-confused kids. This goes back to May of 2022 when the Tasmanian Law Report Tasmanian Law Reform Institute, rather, delivered a report called Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity, where they call for the most repressive laws, more than in Victoria, in the country, which would, and they talk about prohibiting Bible discussions, prayer, sermons, etc., which touch on issues of sexuality and sex confusion. And most importantly, they wanted to mandate the so-called affirmation model, which is pushing kids through into sex transition, now increasingly internationally discredited. So we've campaigned on that from day one. We've had experts come in, we've had a forum in Parliament, which we've supported, we've had forums across the state, we've letterboxed, we've had full page ads, and this campaign in the election, which came upon us sort of almost unawares, we've concentrated on that issue because we think the fate of the rights of parents to care for their kids and the rights of sex-confused kids is the most important thing in this election. And there seems to be a clear divide, and we're just pointing that out. We're a charity. We can't tell people how to vote, but we're pointing out these issues.
So there was a Christopher. It is an important issue. There was a bill that was sent out for comment. That's now fallen into, I think it's called, abeyance, because we're in a caretaker situation at the moment. And that had was not as bad as the Victorian model. And so we certainly need to be encouraging our parliamentarians. And this is something I want to encourage our listeners that are in Tasmania to do. Please talk to your parliamentarians about having legislation that will protect parents and pastors to be able to pray and teach the Bible on this matter. And so that was a Liberal government proposal. We don't know whether it would have passed through Parliament because it never got that far. And we don't know whether that will be the new bill that will get through when they come out of caretaker mode.
Now, Christopher, interestingly, taking a broader perspective than just Tasmania, just overnight the conversion bill has passed through the New South Wales Parliament. And so this is a hot topic. And you might even say rushed through the New South Wales Parliament. And when you say this is a snap election, it's caught everyone unawares. This is a deliberate ploy, would you say, when it comes to pushing through perhaps even legislation that could be quite controversial?
I wouldn't say that for Tasmania, because there was a process, there was an exposure draft, which, as Richard has pointed out, has now fallen away. And we understand, although that will, if the Liberals win, for example, that will be the draft that will proceed and then have to be debated in Parliament. So that issue hasn't come upon us unawares. In New South Wales, it was pushed through, and the New South Wales model is not good. It's slightly better than Victoria, but better than a very bad bill is not a great advertisement. And it will seriously affect parents, pastors, and even clinicians, and will bring, because it gives the right for civil claims on very little evidence. And so that's going to have a huge effect, sadly, in New South Wales.
And so while we're seeing legislation pass through other state parliaments around Australia, what we're seeing is Tasmania is, you might say, in a very good way, lagging a little behind, and at least you'll be able to see what sort of effects those sorts of bills have in other states. Thoughts from you, Richard?
Yeah, so, I mean, the bill that was put forward for exposure wasn't perfect. So Patrick Parkinson, somebody who many, I hope, listeners will know, was suggesting really not sure why we need this legislation, given there isn't a lot of evidence of these practices happening. But it was about as good a bill as we could get. But we were hoping for more protections around prayer. Certainly the model that was put forward was nowhere near as restrictive as either Victoria or I don't know much about the New South Wales bill. That's on the mainland.
The North Island.
That's right, the North Island, and I'll trust Christopher on that. I think the other area, well, I hope this isn't okay to, I hope it's okay to move to another matter as well, but another matter for Christians here in Hobart is, in Tasmania, is issues around pokies. And so Anglicare has been pushing a pre-commitment model, which both parties had previously supported. I hope Christians will encourage whatever the outcome is to hold their local parliamentarians to the promises they've made, because the damage that gambling makes, particularly in the northern suburbs of Tasmania, is just horrendous. And we need to be protecting families from the damage that gambling can bring.
Christopher Brough here. The Australian Christian Lobby surveyed not only parties but candidates too. Did gambling come up in any of those surveys? Were there particular perspectives you can reflect on?
That wasn't included in our survey, but I know that we had the Deputy Premier speak at one of our forums. He's the Treasurer. And he reiterated his commitment to the pre-commitment strategy, which Richard just outlined. And I think he said it's probably the leading position across the country, the first of its kind. And we would be 100% behind that. I don't know what the Labor Party's policy is on that, but it would, as Richard has said, it's a most necessary issue. I've represented a lady who lost $40,000 in two nights over a poker machine, and so it's a most necessary commitment.
Let's talk about gambling here, Richard, because as the Dean of the Cathedral, you've got a pastoral oversight over the people who are not only a part of your church, but widely across the CBD in Hobart. Mm-hmm. When you're seeing families decimated by gambling, what does that do to you as a leader when you recognise that somehow or other our legislators might not be on top of this the way they ought to be?
Look, it can be devastating for people and for families, and it's an addiction like any other addiction, whether it be drugs or alcohol or nicotine, and all of those can have incredibly negative effects on people. A lot of the work, I think, of the church and other charities and caring organisations is to make sure that we're helping our parliamentarians to understand the depths of the problems. Now, I need to say, I think many of our politicians in Tasmania are well aware of it because people go and make representations to them. The issue is, though, if we do the pre-commitment cards, which is a good thing to do, we also then need to make sure we're working on how do we stop people just simply moving online and losing their money in a situation that there's absolutely no limits and it's not even going in raising funds in Australia. It's making money elsewhere. So whilst this is a good step and an important step, it's a bigger issue than simply this pre-commitment card, but it's better to make one step in the right direction, knowing that there's a long way to go. But, you know, there are so many areas where our government needs to help our society to care for itself. Like, I do believe we are responsible, but when there are so many opportunities for people to lose their income and not be able to care for their own families, we need to be working to put safeguards around them.
Let me move to another issue here. State government assistance for the Dark Mofo Festival.
We tend to say just the Dark Festival, so I don't have to explain to my old ladies what MOFO stands for.
What does it stand for?
I'm not going to say that
on
air.
Okay, well, we won't say that on the air. Well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it? So I'll save your reflection on what you think of the Dark MOFO Festival. Christopher Brough here. This is one of those sorts of issues. I remember last year's Dark MOFO Festival, there was quite a significant news headline that was around the nation, where at the Hobart Airport, there was a sign saying, "Welcome to Hell." It's a way of characterising Tasmanians, but the Dark MOFO Festival has that effect on building the character or the personality of a state. Do you have any reflection here, Christopher?
Yes, so that headline in Hobart Airport was instructive because it showed what the people behind the festival thought they were doing. They were exposing people to darkness. And that's certainly the theme. If you follow what happened with Dark MOFO, with the images in some of the shows and things, it was exposing people to darkness. And darkness and the forces of evil are real in this world. We often don't know much about that, but they are real. And we shouldn't be doing that. And I know a lady who does street work in Hobart, and she says after the Dark MOFO, the problem she has on the streets with kids just increases. So we really have to think Tasmania is a beautiful state. It is just magnificent. Why do we want to say this is hell? Why do we want darkness?
And of course, we've got state government assistance for the Dark MOFO Festival. Let's bring Richard Humphrey in here because, and I know that you'd appreciate, Richard, that there are theatrics in, you know, the way that performers have in their act, if they're, you know, singing and doing video clips, and there's a certain theatricalness about it. And maybe you might even question motives. We might be reading into some things more deeply, but are we reading into the Dark MOFO Festival, or is there something real in that we need to be really cautious about?
There's two things I'd want to say there, I guess. Firstly, in my experience of speaking to the people who organise the festival, I actually don't think they believe anything, which is different from saying they believe something and are trying to attract it. However, in putting those things forward, I agree with Christopher, it does open things to darkness. But what we try to do is sit alongside the festival. So 2 years ago, their theme was, for reasons known only to them, resurrection. That was their theme. So we put a big sign on the corner of the church saying, "Resurrection, copyright Jesus Christ." And we ran a series of public lectures on what does it mean? What does resurrection mean? During the festival, we have our doors open. We have light shining out of of our windows. So they work as stained glass windows in reverse. And we welcome people onto the building as they go to the various nighttime activities. This year, with the Welcome to Hell sign, we put a sign up saying, well, welcome to heaven. Come across from the darkness to light. And we had YWAM and another church doing coffees and pancakes and evangelism teams working out of our close. So whilst there is that invitation perhaps to consider dark things, we are trying to use those opportunities of people in the city and questioning and thinking to help people to see, well, let's not think about the darkness but move towards the light.
Well, special honour to you, Richard, and all the team here at St. David's, because when people look at a cathedral, they often will think that's a relic of the past. To hear your heart and your reflection of saying, we'll take the contemporary issues, what people are being bombarded with in the headlines, what they're looking at on their social media, and we're going to put an opposite where we can present the truth of Jesus Christ for a modern society. I think people will resonate with that, and I know that your heartbeat has been heard. So St. David's Cathedral, it's the location of our special broadcast today. It is a pre-election broadcast tomorrow. Tasmanians are off to the polls. They're going to be electing another state government. Before I let you go, Richard, predictions. You did say a little earlier, maybe it's we're headed for another hung parliament. That might be what the polls are suggesting.
It's been a very odd situation here in Tasmania. We kept losing parliamentarians that were elected, and then there were recounts, and then we had two members who were Liberal Party members who defected to the backbench, not the backbench, side bench, middle bench. I don't know what you call
crossbench.
Crossbench,
yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had this sort of minority sort of government for over a year now, and that became unstable. That's why we've moved to have an election. And there had already been a commitment to restore the 35 members in the lower house, that we had 35 members up until the late 90s. Jack might correct me here, or Christopher might, but I think it was the late 90s. And then it was restricted to 25. Every party has understood that 25 just doesn't give enough members. Like, if you talk to Guy Barnett, a good Christian guy, who's the Attorney General and in charge of the Health Department, like, you can't be the Attorney General and run the Health Department. That's just too big a portfolio. And I think he's got two others as well. I think he also does defence. Right. I keep looking at Jack. I don't know why I'm looking at Jack. I just assume you know this stuff. So the going up from 25 to 35 makes it a very difficult job to choose. It also means that we used to have a choice of like 8 or 9 or 10 people when you went to vote. We've got 35 because all the major parties have all put 7 people in for obvious reasons. Just that the crunching the numbers, you want people to, if you're a Labor Party person, you want 7 Labor people. If you want Liberal Party, you want 7, and same with the other parties. So it's going to be very hard to work out. You've got to vote for at least 7. It'll be a brave person who wants to vote for all 35. The polls seem to be pointing to a Liberal government, but in minority, maybe by 2 or 3 seats. And so as to who they'll work with, we have history here in Tasmania of the Labor Party working with the Greens. That was in 2010 to 2014. That is not a period of time that's remembered with great fondness politically. That's why there's some nervousness about minority government. But that seems to be the outcome that most of the pundits are pushing towards. Both parties are obviously wanting majority government, but that doesn't seem to be the way it will fall.
Thanks so much for your heartfelt reflections, Richard, and for listeners who are thinking, how do I make sense of all of these comments and where party policies might sit? There are a number of resources that you can make reference to. One of those called the Christian Values Checklist, the Australian Christian Values Checklist, christianvalues.org.au. And, of course, ACL, the Australian Christian Lobby, has a Tasmania election website, tasvotes.org.au.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.